Good morning. Try and let everybody find a seat. And I just to clarify something from Dave's announcement. It was kind of funny. He did say that we lost one of our media people. And she's fine, and the baby's good and everything. We know even where she is, and she didn't die. So let's just put that out there. Sometimes we get that language, you know, like we lost somebody, and that means they're, like, deceased, and don't worry, Leanne is fine. Okay, so, but we do need some help back there, and so there you go, just to clear that little up, language thing up. On a maybe more serious note, we are down one pastor this morning. He didn't pass away or anything. However, his grandmother did pass away this week. And so Pastor Preston was away a good part of this week. He did the message for his own grandmother's funeral yesterday in Swift Current. And then he's just spending a little bit of time with his family there in Swift Current until he comes back in a day or two. And he's doing great and all those things. I've been texting with him this morning. But I would like you to keep him in your prayers and his family in your prayers as they kind of figure out what it looks like. His grandfather is still around and now trying to figure out that life. And that's always a hard thing, I think. So this morning, there's two things. First of all, you know, if you've come to Lakewood for any period of time, you know that we really actually do like kind of breaking the rules, the religious rules that are out there. It's kind of one of our things. Mostly just because we are lazy. it's not that. Sometimes we do it actually intentionally, and this was kind of one of those weeks where we decided to start Advent a week later. So you can't open your gifts until actually the New Year's celebration is when you can do it now. No, we're going to do the next 4 weeks starting next week. Right up until Christmas Eve. And then just as a note of announcement, Christmas Eve this year is on a Saturday. And so we're going to do a Christmas Eve service. And then this is like unheard of. We've like canceled church on Christmas morning. So we will not be meeting on Christmas morning. It's just pretty difficult. Yeah, we like breaking rules. So there you go. And then also, just to add to that, I'm just laying it all out there this morning for you already. To add to that, the following week, of course, is New Year's Day. And we're kind of concerned about numbers and attendance that day, to be honest with you. And so we've decided we're going to gather. But what we'd like to do is like a potluck brunch. We're just going to set up some tables in here. We're going to sit down. We're going to eat together. And I'm going to do a short devotional during that time. But we're going to give our worship people a rest that morning, and just come and be together and celebrate together over some food, and then we'll talk a little bit about what God has been doing, and I'll share a little bit that morning as well. Okay? So how's that for a list of rule-breaking things? None of them, I think, I really don't think that Jesus is going to lose his mind over any of those things, to be honest with you, and so that's part of the reason why we did that. Hey, I'm excited about this morning, and I'm excited because I get to share with you a story that is, to be honest with you, I was just telling Jim, one of my favorite stories from the scriptures. And so there's a mild concern that when you share your favorite biblical story, that there could be a possibility that you could go a little longer than usual. So I'm going to do my best to watch my notes and keep as close to my notes as possible so that we're not here until 12:30 instead of 11:45 or so. Okay? So here's what I want. Now, I know it's a Jesus story, and I know everybody here knows all the Jesus stories by heart, and so there's probably a temptation that you could just check out and just be like, you know, I know everything about Jesus, so I really don't need to listen to this story. And if that's you, then that's okay. The children's ministry people do actually need help. And so you can go in there and help, and if you know everything there is to know, that's totally cool. But we would expect you to go and help in there. That's okay? Nobody's moving. Okay. I think there's a lot, actually, to offer in this story. And not just in the things that we can learn from this story, but the things that we can maybe challenge ourselves to think about. in terms of the questions that we maybe ask ourselves on a regular kind of a basis. Okay? Now, this guy Jesus had multiple names. Okay? They called him the Messiah. They called him the Son of God. They called him Yeshua, actually, would be closer to what they actually called him. They called him the Son of David. What else did they call him? Emmanuel, as we get into the Christmas season, right? All these names that they called Jesus, okay? And so we're going to hear one of those names a little bit later, and some versions of this particular story use different names, actually. He calls out different things, and so I wanted to just clarify that the version I'm going to use is Son of David. So when this guy calls out Son of David, he knows who he is calling. Interesting thing. I want you to keep that in mind. I'm going to give you a little bit of context around this particular story, and then I'm going to do my best to just tell it. How's that sound? Okay? So the story is from Mark 10, verses 46 to 52, and I'd love for you to read it sometimes. And it is the story of a guy named Bartimaeus. Okay? And Bartimaeus was blind. Okay? And now when we think about the context of Bartimaeus being blind, there's some important things to keep in mind about, in particular, any illness in the scriptures, the way they understood them, but in particular around blindness. Okay? So one of the things that this particular story points out is that Bartimaeus was sitting begging, and that not only was it Bartimaeus, but the scriptures actually, Mark actually is very clear to say, Timaeus' son. So the author is actually trying to say, look, Bartimaeus, blind man Bartimaeus sitting there begging, and Bartimaeus was Timaeus' son. Here's why. Because they wanted to be clear that when somebody had an affliction like blindness, that they believed there was a lot more to it. And that there was, usually it was a result of some sort of sin. And not just sin of that individual person, but probably a sin of some past generations. And so Mark lists somebody from a past generation, Timaeus, as the culprit, so to speak. Okay? Are you with me? So as we hear this kind of context, I want you to hear this tension between Bartimaeus, the blind man, being blind. And that this wasn't just something that happened to his eyes. Okay? Are there any blind people here? Just put up your hand. Okay. So this is kind of interesting this morning, right? So Mel is here this morning. Okay? And I'm not going to point out Mel necessarily, but I'm assuming, Mel, that there is not some sort of deep-rooted sin in your past that has caused your blindness. We know better. We know better. We know that this is just a physical thing that's taken place. And in Mel's case, in Mel's body, later on in life. Okay? It's not something Mel did to cause this, or Mel's father, or and so on. Okay? Are you with me? But because of this, Bartimaeus was excluded from his community in a lot of different ways. Okay? So here's the thing about the culture in which they lived in. Okay, so a small town, and they were in Jericho, and Jericho, if you remember, is an Old Testament city where the walls fell down, actually. It was the first city that Israelites took when they moved across the Jordan River and into the Promised Land. And there's no coincidence that city had the walls come down. And I don't think it's any coincidence either that Bartimaeus was in Jericho when some walls came down. His life story. Okay? Now they live outside, and you know what? We live inside a lot. Our whole lives are lived inside, but this culture, right, is outside culture. If we go to Ethiopia or go to Haiti or go wherever, right, most of actually our world lives outside. They clean outside, they cook outside, they rest in the afternoon outside, they work outside, they don't go to office somewhere and work. They do everything outside. And so when everything takes place outside, they interact more with their neighbors, with their community, and all those kinds of things. Okay? All that is taking place. And when we see this particular story take place, it doesn't take place in secrecy. I think that that's really important, that this particular story that I'm about to tell does not take place in secrecy. It takes place in public. Everybody knew everything about everybody's business. And not only that, they knew it, and they likely saw it. Right? They didn't just hear about this story. This community saw this story unfold. Okay? And so when we think about all of the healing stories, not just the Bartimaeus story, we have to wonder, what was taking place? Who was really the recipient, that's what I'm getting at, of this healing? Who experiences the greatest transformation in this story of Bartimaeus receiving his sight? Okay, I'm not going to say, but I'm just hinting out there that I think that there was more characters involved in the story than just Jesus and Bartimaeus. Okay, so I'm gonna try now my best to kind of move forward a little bit so that I don't get too stuck on some of the context things. All right, so physical illness. Okay, people lived outside. They knew everybody's business, like small town. Okay, I lived in one. They really did know everybody's business. That's a true statement. Okay, next thing, blindness in particular, but all physical ailments was a sign, as far as they were concerned, of sin or past sin. Okay, that's the second thing about this. Right? Those are the balcony looks at this particular story. Now, we move off of the balcony, and as we move down off of the balcony, the people had this deep understanding of their history. Okay, if you go to a small town, right, in particular, people will know the history of that town. You ever notice that? We're a young town. We don't really know, we're barely even making history here in Chestermere. But if you go to a small old town, they know the history. Right? I remember Pastor Preston was talking a few weeks ago about how every young Jewish boy would memorize the scriptures, the first five books of the Bible, which is like just a small part. It's like, you know, 300-400 pages in our Bible. Okay, so they would memorize that. And then they would also memorize the prophets, some of what the prophets would say. And Isaiah was one of their most famous prophets. He was a very famous prophet. Okay? And here's what Isaiah said about this future David coming. He said this, "And when the Messiah comes, when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind, unstop the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like deer, and those who can't speak will shout and sing." Okay? All right. So, we are about to see something interesting take place. Now, before we do that, a little more context about Bartimaeus. Here's what we know about Bartimaeus. He was a beggar. Okay? Now, that doesn't seem like a big deal when you read that. However, here's what it meant to be a beggar. I've traveled to several third world countries and different places, Ethiopia being one of the main places where I saw this take place. That basically, if you had a physical ailment in a third world country like Ethiopia, your occupation becomes begging. Okay, they don't teach you a skill. They don't teach you to read. They don't teach you to write. They don't really teach you anything other than, this is going to sound harsh, other than how to look and act really pathetic. Because the more pathetic you act, the worse off your condition is, the more you can make begging. So the job of Bartimaeus in this story was to look and act and be pathetic. That's what he was doing. This was the only skill that Bartimaeus had in order to provide food for himself. So each day when he would wake up as a beggar, he would make his way down to some busy street and start his job. It was to sit there and ask people to give him something because he was super good at being pathetic. And it still happens in our culture, in our world. And it works. I had a hard, hard time as I interacted with different people in Ethiopia, different stoplights and interactions and all those kind of things. How people come up to you holding their baby who's got a deformity or whatever, maybe it was a borrowed baby. And this happens in our world. Desperation sets in. It's the only way to provide. And this is the story of Bartimaeus. This is where he is. His skill set only lies in being pathetic and begging. Okay? Since he was a child, that's all he would have known. His normal, right? His routine, his comfort. Think about that for a sec. What is your normal? What is your routine? What is your comfort? What does it look like? Not just in your life and your occupation, but even in your posture and the way that you talk about people, even the way that you talk about your current situations. What does that look like? Bartimaeus had a certain bent on that and what that was supposed to look like. Okay? Here's what we know in our studies. Even we take something like depression. Or actually, no, not depression. That's not a good one. An addiction. Here's what we know about addictions. One of the first things that counselors have taught me and told me about addiction is that the hardest thing is not actually breaking the addiction. It's actually choosing to get out of your current reality. Because sometimes we get so comfortable in our current reality because it's a known fact. It's at least, you know, it might be bad, but at least we know it. Right? And the fear of the unknown, the thing that we don't know, is what's most terrifying, actually. It's not the addiction. It's the fear of the unknown thing that's out there. There's no script for it. And I think that Bartimaeus finds himself in this moment of decision. And here's how the story goes. So I'm going to tell the story. I think that's the most fun anyways, isn't it? So Bartimaeus makes his way out to the street that he's on. The street is in Jericho, his hometown, the place where he grew up. And I imagine that Bartimaeus sat in the same spot every day. His routine had become normal and comfortable. I imagine that the people in there, because of his physical ailment, knew who Bartimaeus was, but did not know who Bartimaeus was. You know what I mean by that? In other words, he was one of those people that you saw every day, but you never stopped to ask a question about his story or his life. And in their context, you didn't do it because he was a sinner and it was obvious and the whole community knew it. So I imagine sitting there on that street must have been incredibly lonely for Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus had ears to hear. He listened on his street as people walked back and forth and talked about this crazy guy who had showed up and was starting to do amazing things. Oh, they were calling him. They were calling him Jesus. Some people were calling him a Messiah. Some people were saying he was the son of David. And Bartimaeus, this guy on the street, is hearing all of these things. And as he sits on the street that day, in his current comfortable situation, a crowd begins to make its way past. I imagine there was some kind of anticipation. Now he couldn't see, so I'm sure he was trying to listen. What are people saying as they walk by? And suddenly, Bartimaeus catches the word. Some word that reminds him of this person he has been hearing about. This person that he has been hearing about. The restoration of sight. healing lame people, giving deaf people their hearing back. And he hears this word, Jesus. And so what does he do? What does he do? He does something that is completely uncharacteristic, completely unacceptable, actually, because they didn't raise their voice in that culture. He begins to call out because his moment of decision has happened. It's happening. And so we hear Bartimaeus. He says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd, the community tells him what? Be quiet. Shh. But Bartimaeus doesn't care. His moment is there. It's happening right then. And so he cries out again, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And it becomes even more awkward. And I imagine that Bartimaeus, in his desperation, drops down to his knees and screams out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And things got awkward. Are they awkward? Can you imagine being a part of that crowd watching this? This man's moment has arrived. And so we anticipate something huge happening. We anticipate something big, you know, happening, taking place. Jesus is going to say something crazy wise, and, you know, sparks are going to fly, a cloud's going to open up. And instead, Jesus says, who is this guy yelling? Who is this? And so they call him over. And they say, Good news, he's heard you, he's calling you. And they bring Bartimaeus to Jesus. And Jesus, you know what, this is a funny thing. You know what, sometimes we say this in school, and we say this even to our kids sometimes. We often say, have you ever heard this? There's no such thing as a dumb question. Yeah, there is. Okay, and this is what's fascinating about it. There are dumb questions. And, you know, Pastor Preston, we should tease him for a sec since he's not here to defend himself. You know that he's written a book? Yeah, he's written a book. It's called Bees and the Neighborhood. And I think it's something about bees in neighborhoods. It's a little more than that. I have actually read it. He's written this book. And so I was thinking when I was writing this message, I was thinking, well, Evan, if you were ever going to write a book, it would be more of a pamphlet, let's be honest. Okay? But if I was ever to write a book, what would I call it? What would I call it? I think I would call it, you know, dumb questions Jesus asked. Because I actually do think that would catch your eye if you're walking through chapters, you know, you're like, oh, question Jesus asked. What is this about, right? That's the question I would ask because you know what? Jesus asked several really dumb questions. Did you know that? And he is about to ask a really, really dumb question. Okay, so when I pointed out that Mel was here, how many of you already knew that Mel was here? Okay, so pretty much everybody. Okay, and there's some clear distinctions that Mel was here. I actually asked him if I could, so he's not freaking out over there. Okay, why did you know that Mel was here? Well, for one, you know what Mel looks like. But if you met Mel on the street, there's some obvious things that would tell you that Mel is blind. Okay, one of them might be Walker, the dog who's with him, right? Some other things, maybe the glasses, some of those kind of things, right? Some things, very, very clear things. So Bartimaeus comes before Jesus, and Jesus asks this question. This is what he says. What is it that you want from me? This is a dumb question, right? This is a dumb question. This guy has just been screaming for you on the street. You bring him over. What could you possibly think he wants other than to see? Yet Jesus asks this question, what is it that I can do for you? Now, we can stop with this being a dumb question, but I think there's something to learn in this particular moment. And I think that what is to be learned in this particular moment is that Jesus respects Bartimaeus so much so that he would ask him, that he would listen to Bartimaeus' request. Not make some assumption about what Bartimaeus must want from him. Instead, he says, what is it that I can do for you? And Bartimaeus says, "Teacher," or "Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see." Jesus gives Bartimaeus the dignity of stating his need. Think about that. Of saying what he needs from him. Do you know we don't do that enough? We don't do that enough in our culture. I don't do that enough. I do not say to Jesus, "Jesus, you know what? This is what I need." And Bartimaeus asked for actually a pretty basic thing. I just want to see. Bartimaeus, in this moment of decision, cries out to Jesus. Jesus asks him what he wants, and Bartimaeus says, "I want to see. I want to change my normal. I want to change that place where I have just been sitting my whole life, and I have no idea what my future holds, but I am done sitting here in this spot." And Jesus, no sparks, no incredible words of wisdom, no none of that stuff. This is what Jesus says: "Go, your faith has healed you." Can you imagine that? This is what he says: "Go, your faith has healed you." And Bartimaeus receives his sight. Wow. I tell you what, Mel gets his sight back, it would change everything about what happens even in this room, not just in Mel's life. It would change everything that happens here in this room, in this city even, because a lot of people know Mel, right? Changes the community, transforms the community, because remember, they're all there watching and seeing what happens. This transformation that takes place that never, ever takes place within the context of just one person and Jesus. This takes place in the context of the community. The community is shaped and transformed and changed into a different community because they saw the power of Yeshua. And they saw it through the guy that they have been ignoring their whole life. They don't see it through the flashy guy in plaid in their community. They see it through the guy who sits and begs every day. Are we paying attention to the people who aren't so flashy in our communities? Or do we only want to hear it from the guy in the front who can pace back and forth and tell a good story? As I tell you what, God is working in other places, on our streets and in our communities. It's not to say he's not doing that here and you're not learning something. I'm just saying, I'm not the be-all and end-all of anything. God shaping and changing a community by working and changing the individuals in it. That's us. That's us. That's all of us. Teacher, I want to see. So go, for your faith has restored you. It's a funny thing. I am going to try to wrap this up like as fast as I can here. Funny thing. You know, sometimes I think that when God does something in my life, change me, shape me, something, I get to see something cool, that somehow I must owe some form of debt to God for that. That if he blesses me in some way, then I need to pay that back via service or whatever. But actually, that's not what we learn here in this scripture. What we learn here, and I've just said the line over and over, Jesus doesn't say, "Now, follow me." Jesus doesn't say, "Now, go and give money to the church." He doesn't say, any of those things. Jesus, in demonstrating the heart of his Father in heaven, the Son of God, says, go. We see the true heart of the Father through the life and actions of the Son. And what we see in this story is grace and mercy and generosity and freedom to go and live. To go and be. There isn't an expectation here that Bartimaeus has to fulfill. Now, the text actually does tell us what Bartimaeus does. And it's actually, you know what, it's awesome, and it's also heartbreaking. And here's what Bartimaeus does. After Jesus says, go, your faith has healed you. Did you hear that? There's an interesting thing in that line. I'm going to touch on it before I move on. He says, your faith has healed you. He doesn't say, I have healed you. He doesn't say, my Father in heaven has healed you, even though we can make that assumption. What he says is, your faith has healed you. In other words, and I'm not, don't, please don't hear what I'm not saying. What I am saying is, God has given us and given Bartimaeus what he needed. And it's this particular point in his life where God pulls what he needed out and heals him. You hear what I'm saying? You have everything you need for this journey. We have everything we need. And that doesn't mean we don't need God. God plays a pretty big part in this story, our stories. But he has gifted you with these things. To have faith, to trust, to be obedient, to be generous. All of those things we are capable of. The things that you think you're not capable of, you are. Because you were made in the image of God. You are gifted with his Spirit. Right? One of the songs we just sang, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praises. God's Spirit. His breath in our lungs. Amen, hey? Wow. Amazing, amazing story of God drawing out his Spirit and restoring Bartimaeus. And not just restoring his sight, but restoring him in his community. See, that's the last part of this story. He does this in front of everyone. And he doesn't do it just because everyone happened to be there. He does it because this story is more than about restoring blindness. Honestly, all of the healing stories are more than just the ailment that the person has experienced. All of the healing stories have to do with restoration. And they have to do with the restoration of the individual in their community. That's why Jesus, in this story, he doesn't do it. In a lot of stories, he says, yeah, you're healed, and by the way, your sins are forgiven. Right? Because it was the sins that was removing them from their community. I think the sin makes Jesus all that uncomfortable. Makes the community uncomfortable. Okay? And so we see this story unfold. And here's what happens with Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus has been told to go. His whole life has changed. He's given permission to leave. And what does he choose to do? Well, the actual text says, and Bartimaeus followed Jesus down the road. A choice he made. He wasn't commanded to do it. He made a choice. And the choice was to follow Jesus down the road. That is awesome. And really hard. And here's why I say that. Because the next story in the book of Mark is Jesus entering the city of Jerusalem. And it is the last week of Jesus' life. And so we began to see Jesus making his way towards the cross. And I cannot imagine what it must have been like for Bartimaeus to be watching that with his brand new eyes. The first things that Bartimaeus begins to see is the worst part of human nature. The brutal torture and killing of this son of David who had just given him his eyes back. There is no guarantee that following Jesus brings roses and wonderful, lovely feelings. It's never been a promise. Following Jesus is hard. I believe that it is worth it, but it is not easy. And so if we're looking for easy, we're following the wrong Jesus. We need to just go find Jesus down in Mexico somewhere. But it is worth it. And it shapes us, and it changes us, and it restores us. He is a God who is profoundly interested in pouring out his mercy and his grace and his generosity and his love. And that's actually what that whole cross thing was about. So, what can we take from the story that we've all heard before and we know everything about Jesus from? He is always interested in demonstrating his Father's heart. He is always interested in restoring you and I from whatever situation we might find ourselves in. He will give you the dignity to ask, to state your need to him. He will not impose himself upon you. Our God is profoundly interested in not just fixing you, but restoring your community and everything around you and everybody around you. Our God is not just interested in doing that from some high up place somewhere else, but a God who meets us on the street when we cry out. He hears and he listens and he calls us to himself. That's the heart of God. Shape us, care for us, and demonstrate mercy, which means giving us something we don't always deserve. As we enter into the Advent season, we enter into a period of time of waiting, of hopeful waiting. We ask Jesus come into our stories and our lives to renew in us what is already here, his Spirit. We wait patiently like they did because the prophets, and we're going to talk about this next week, the prophets said he was coming. And the prophets even say how he was coming and what to look for. Are we watching for the places where Jesus is trying to interact in our story in the week? Are you stuck and comfortable? Are you afraid of the unknown thing, and so you're just stuck? I have been there over and over. It's possible, or could it be possible, that this Christmas season, Yeshua, that's what I was actually trying to say. Yeshua, Jesus, is trying to pass by you in a new way. And what would it look like for us, for you, to cry out and don't let the moment pass? And change your life. Change my life. It has, and I'm ready for it to happen again. The heart of God. with us in this life, shaping and transforming us. Amen? You stand. I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to give the benediction. God, thank you so much for the gift of your Son. Thank you for the ways in which Jesus chooses to demonstrate your heart to us. Thank you that he was walking down that street that day and changed not only Bartimaeus, but changed that community. God, I pray for all of the different needs that we have in this room and in our city. God, might you hear our prayers. Might you hear our cries this Christmas as we deal with all of the stress that comes maybe with Christmas. God, we pray, would you be present in the relationships that we have to work through and deal with? God, would you be present in our financial situations as we worry about Christmas presents and all of those kinds of things? God, we pray, would you provide for us in our spoken needs? God, give us the courage to say the things we need from you out loud. Mostly, God, from my own heart, I ask, would you hear me? Would you hear us? Give us the courage to place our needs before you. For you are a merciful, a gracious, and generous God, and we are so grateful. Be with us as we go. So now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace as you go into this Christmas season, knowing that Jesus walks with you each day and every day. Amen. Have a great week.